The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Honey, the online shopping platform that helps consumers save time and money, is building a Boulder office and looking for software engineers to join the team. Find out more at joinhoney.com/careers. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. We have a unique startup and tech community here on the edge of the Rockies, and we want you to know about it. The Boulder Tech Podcast features conversations with leaders, thinkers, and influencers, sharing their views on what's happening in Boulder's rapidly evolving tech scene. These interviews were recorded during the 9th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind, anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Our guest for episode number 5 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is Young Kim, a community curator at Startup Digest and the coordinator for the Boulder Fit Tech Meetup. We touch on several ideas in our discussion, including finding your community and the power of asking for help. Tell me about Startup Digest.
So Startup Digest is sort of a curation of sort of the best events and meetups you can go to if you want to be part of the startup community. So there are multiple Startup Digests throughout the United States and around the world, actually. So every city pretty much has a Startup Digest. And so I happen to run the one for Boulder and Denver along with three other people.
So are you just curating the best of startup material, stories, information just from the Front Range or from elsewhere as well?
We try to focus mostly on Boulder and Denver. So these are events that we feel would most benefit the startup community overall. Events that are typically free, but not always, and that have more focused on giving to the community rather than just taking from the community. The best way to explain that is that we have a lot of people who submit events that are clearly more of the get-rich-quick scheme kind of thing, and we try to avoid that. We decided to focus mostly on events and meetups that are about for developers, coding, how to pitch, things of that nature, rather than doing more of like these broad make money really fast kind of things, which we get a lot of those kind of submissions, which is really odd.
So is it hard to find people who have this sense of giving in their company?
No, I think because TechStars is located here in Boulder and because their mantra is give first, everyone kind of revolves around that ecosystem. So everywhere I go, every time I go to an event, the events seem to be more community focused. I've been to a lot of meetups where it seems to be a lot of selling, whereas the events in Boulder that I've attended, it seems to be more about connecting with the community, figuring out what's happening in the community, what their needs are, and what kind of services can be provided to that community.
Somebody I spoke with earlier mentioned that also, that they thought that one of the things that sets the Front Range startup community apart from startup communities in other areas is this sense of true community of giving first. And I wonder, why is that unique to
Boulder?
To Boulder.
I'm not 100% sure if it's unique to Boulder, but I think what makes why Boulder is this way is probably largely due to Bradfeld's book, Startup Communities, kind of laid a blueprint for what goes into building an ecosystem of a startup ecosystem to help it thrive. And so we kind of took that, and that's been kind of our approach to building our list of events for Startup Digest. We said, which events and meetups really contribute to this community? So things like Boulder Beta, things like Ignite Boulder, TEDx Boulder, things that typically aren't necessarily startup-based, but we know that it has this crossbreed of bringing people from the academic world, from the startup world, from the business world, and bring them all into one place. And I think showing that startups aren't just for coders, it's for a lot of different people. And I think these other events like Ignite Boulder, like TEDx, I think does that. And I'm not sure if the other digests do that or not, but it's just an approach that we took based on Bradfeld's book. To give you another example, a friend of mine and I started our own meetup. Having curated so many events after so many years, we decided to try our own hand at creating our meetup called Boulder Fit Tech. And we literally used Bradfeld's book as the blueprint for how to build that meetup. we said, let's first identify the community, what their needs are, who are the people that contribute to this ecosystem, and then give it a name and go from there. And we came up with Boulder FitTech, and we've been running it for about a year. And it is purely community driven in that we literally sit down with members of the community and talk about what are you struggling with, what do you need help with, and what will help you thrive most, rather than just selling them something or trying to get them to sign up for something, right? And I think that's why it's continued to last than many meetups that we've seen that just come and go really fast. And we've literally seen dozens of meetups start up after we started up, and they've disappeared because they had more of a me centric point of view rather than a give first point of view.
Do you find that people have a hard time asking for help?
Do I find that people have a hard time asking for help? I think in general, people do have a hard time asking for help. And I think there's a huge psychological barrier to that. I think people somehow believe asking for help signals that there's something wrong with you or that you're weak. So they end up being isolated and struggling alone, which I think makes everything worse. On the flip side of that, I think people have difficulty or find it challenging to give first. They seem to think give first means I'll give a freebie away and then I'll try to get money from them later or something like that. Or maybe if I do this favor for them, I get a favor back. But what I find is that give first literally means giving without the expectation of having something in return. Going back to your original question about why people or whether or not people struggle in asking for help, I do see that a lot. Like even my wife and I, we run a business together, and we've been running it together alone for almost 8 years now. At least that's when I came into the picture. And we're now to the point where we realize we need help. And it took us a while to get to that point to say we need help, we need to get help, when we finally got help. And it's been a huge relief getting that help. The instant we did that, we felt relief. We needed a lawyer, so we got a great lawyer. And then we also got a virtual assistant, and that's been a huge relief as well. I think from what I've seen and what I've heard, the TechStars Accelerator program, they try to instill and allow the founders to make it okay and give them the space to ask for help. I think that a lot of times the reason why startups probably have challenges in accelerating and growing is not necessarily because of funding. It's not necessarily because they didn't have the right coders or the right ideas. Sometimes it's because they don't ask for help. They don't ask advice on, hey, what's another way of looking at this? Or I'm really struggling with this idea. And if they don't do that and they just try to solve it on their own, I think that's going to impede their growth, if anything.
What do you think is the best way to express that need for help?
I think just asking. Just the other day, I asked a friend, hey, do you happen to know a good mentor or coach? I just asked. But I think I'm kind of the breed. It's easy for me to ask for help, even though it took us a long time to ask for it. But my wife happens to be in the mental health field. So I'm kind of surrounded by people who make it okay to ask for help. I think it's twofold. I think it's one, the person that needs the help has to just ask, right? And to surround themselves with people who give them the space to ask. If you're surrounded by people that you're afraid to ask for help, you got to really rethink who you're surrounding yourself with, I think. I tend to surround myself with people that I know I can go to ask for help anytime I want. I think this is where the VCs, the mentors and the coaches, and the founders also need to create an environment where it's okay to ask for that help. And also maybe kind of be an example of it. I would love to see more founders ask for help publicly, whether it be in a blog post or in a podcast or at Boulder Startup Week, right? So that their coworkers can see, hey, you know, we see our leader asking for help, so maybe that's okay to do. I think also, and this is a much bigger topic, but there is sort of this prevalent culture, and I don't know if it's American or not, but Americans seem to believe that somehow it's really weak to ask for help, particularly male culture, I would say. I'm not saying that most men are this way, but I think a lot of men kind of like to think, oh, you know, I'm a smart guy. I can figure this out on my own. I don't need anyone's help. And I don't know where that comes from, but there's definitely a lot of it. And I think that's why they're struggling with asking for help.
I agree that it does seem to be
an American thing. There's something to that. And, you know, it's interesting to me in the current political climate, there's a segment of the population who feels like, oh,
it's unmanly.
It's all in, you know, America is a country of individuals. Right. And I did all of this myself.
Right. We don't need anyone.
And I don't need your help. Right. And actually, it's exactly the opposite of how this country came into being.
Right.
We the people, everyone right. pulled together.
Exactly.
And we nope. have our differences and we're all from different places, which right. is an amazing thing. And somehow we found a way to make it work. It's being put to the test pretty heavily right now. Right.
Well, I think isolating ourselves, I don't see, there's not much upside to isolation. There's not much upside to doing it all yourself. And I think it is top down. I think that culture is top down. So if whether it's the White House or a startup, if you're in an environment where you don't feel safe asking for help, you got to look at the leadership, I think.
Let me shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
What's your background? Are you a tech person? When I see Startup Digest, I think,
sure.
oh, it's a digest. It's journalism. Is right. that an aspect of it? Or what's your background?
My personal background is kind of all over the place. I have experience in the entertainment field. So I've worked for Starz. I don't know if I should say that on the radio. But I've had experience in television. I've experienced in business writing, coaching, a little bit of social media here and there. But in terms of my involvement in the digest, what's interesting is that I'm not really a techie person. I mean, depending who you compare me to, right? So if you compare me to the average person, I'm probably more tech savvy than most. But if you compare me to the most people in the startup community, I'm still a newbie. You know, I still don't know how to write a line of code. You know, I've tried. I've really tried, and it's really difficult. So I can see why they get paid so much money to write Ruby. But what's interesting is that I got involved in Startup Digest simply because I was interested in it. And someone asked me to be involved in it. And I think, if anything, Startup Digest and the way it's structured, the way it was built and the way it came about, is sort of the embodiment of community. In most places, if you want to be a member of a community, you got to pay a due, sign a form, you got to go to these annual meetings and stuff, wear your little name tags. But in this startup community, particularly in Boulder, you do something for a startup, you're part of the startup community. And so Startup Digest was my gift first. It was my way of contributing back to the startup community that welcomed me into it. So I don't get paid to be part of Startup Digest, but I'm involved in it for, God, I think almost 4 or 5 years now. And I don't get like a payoff out of it. There's nothing in it for me. I don't work for a startup. I am not a VC. I'm not an angel. I don't sit on any boards. I simply do it because I see the importance of contributing to the community. So Startup Digest is two things. One, it is a calendar of curated events, but they also have curated content, articles collected from around the world that the community might want to be interested in, whether it be health tech or Bitcoin or just venture capital. I don't run that part of it. There are other people who curate that. And again, most of those people work for free. Well, I believe Startup Digest is the embodiment of the give first philosophy.
What would you say to somebody, because I too kind of came into this tech world, but I'm not really a tech person either, but I still think it's a very vibrant community and it is very open and right. welcoming. And so I guess I'm just wondering, do you have any thoughts or advice to someone, maybe a non-tech person who sure. feels a pull or a connection or a draw to this community?
I think there is a misconception that you have to know how to code in order to be part of the startup community. And I found that to be absolutely not true. And you don't even have to be, let's say, a marketer, because those are the three people who are kind of the archetypical startup people would be either the coder, the marketer, or the designer, right? But I'm none of those things, really, but I'm still part of the community. I think this all goes back to community. And I think what I would recommend is always, who is your community, right? What community do you want to be a part of? What values would that community have? And then go find that community. And you'll find that there are a diversity of startup communities out there. So like, for example, your background's in music, right? There's actually a music hacker group here that I think meets either once a month or once a week. I've been to a couple of times. I'm not a music person. I went there and they were very welcoming. And they weren't just coders. Some of them were working on hardware. Like they were literally taking like a motherboard of some kind, like a Raspberry board, and like hooking it up to a synthesizer with a soldering gun. Like they're literally soldering stuff at the meetup. There was another person who had a projection system of some kind that changed the color of the projection based on the beats it was hearing. He was just demoing it. So I think there's startup groups for everybody out there if they just look for them. And Startup Digest is a great place to look for that. I think they have to know why they want to get involved. If your motivation is that you just want to be a part of this, like maybe you just love Shark Tank, you just love pitching, there's a meetup for that. You can go to 1 Million Cups and just watch people pitch. If you want to see the latest apps coming out and be part of that, you can go to Techstars Demo Day, you can go Boulder Beta. I think you have to know why you want to be involved. You have to know what community you want to be a part of and what values are important to you. But I think there's no formula for it necessarily. This is a hard question. Can you ask that again, like in a different way? Maybe that would help me.
Well, speaking for myself, you know, I just sort of fell into Dojo 4 here, right, and that was my entree to the startup community just by being in a place where there's a lot of traffic for that sort of thing. And that's how I know about it. And those are where most of my introductions are made. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to find this place.
Right.
From the moment that I was introduced to it, it seemed like, I'm not a tech guy. I don't know anything about code. I don't know how any of it works, but I do feel like there's a place for me here somewhere. Is it playing, you know, music in offices? Is it, you know, what is the skill that I can offer to the tech community without being a tech person and without being necessarily a marketing person either?
I think this goes back to the idea that there's a misconception about the startup community. Like, for example, and about a misconception about how we perceive ourselves in relation to that startup community. For example, you said you're not a tech person, but you have DJ equipment. You have software for audio, for mixing. That's a lot of tech stuff that most people don't even know how to use. Like, most people don't even know how to use GarageBand, you know, and it's free. Most people, I've actually met people who still don't know how to make a playlist on Spotify. So I think you're a prime example of the kind of people that we would love to have in the startup community. Someone who believes that they don't have any skills, but they actually do. You have a lot of skills, a lot of tech skills that most people in this office don't have. And I think the first place they should start from is get rid of the idea that you have nothing to contribute, right? You have something to contribute. You obviously have some kind of skill set. Like, I'm talking to you personally. And I would say that if you're just interested in the startup community, there must be a reason why. So you must have something you can contribute. Whether it be just being an evangelist, maybe it's helping out a booth. Maybe you're more savvy at social media than you realize. Like, how many people are on social media, right? And so people think that, like, well, I don't know anything about technology. Well, do you use Facebook, right? Then you know about technology. Do you use Twitter? Do you use Instagram, right? Like, I am horrible at Instagram. I am horrible at it. So if you really know how to use Instagram, I'm willing to bet you that there's some kind of like startup who would love an Instagram star, who just knows how to use it, who knows how to use stories. Like, for example, if you're really into fitness and if you are really good at Instagram, I would say go work for a fitness startup, because fitness people love Instagram, right? So I think the good starting place is that get rid of the misconception that you have nothing to contribute. Right. I actually ran to another DJ who said exactly the same thing that you did. She said that I invited her to come to this. She was an LGBT member of that community. And I told her about this LGBT tech community here in Boulder, the Flatirons LGBT tech community. And she was like, well, I'm not really a tech person. I have nothing to contribute. And I was like, but you're a world-class DJ. You literally have skills. You can, a perspective you can contribute. And I think just being interested is enough. If the startup community is making the barrier to entry too hard to get into the community, then the startup community is not connecting with the community that they're trying to serve. I think they need that feedback from someone. Like, I like getting this feedback that you felt like you had nothing to contribute initially to the startup community. That's a good feedback to hear. It's like, maybe we're not marketing the startup community correctly. It's like, what can I do to make you more welcoming?
Right. And that's something that I've learned in the 2.5 years that I've been involved here, is like, you know what? Don't be shy. Don't be afraid to showcase your talent. Or
I think also don't make excuses.
And don't make excuses. Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's what I've learned, much to my pleasant surprise, is that it is a very open community.
Yeah, I found that too. When I first started getting involved in the startup community 8 years ago, even though I had a little bit of online business experience, I would hardly consider myself a startup person or a tech person. But as soon as I started going to events, I found it, the community was way more welcoming than I thought. They didn't care what kind of skill sets I had or what I could do for them. They were more interested in what they could do for me, which is what I found surprising. And I find that every time I go to a startup meetup of some kind, that to be very true, that they are very welcoming. Going back to one of your original questions about how to get involved in the startup community, if you're not a tech person, there's one meetup in particular I would recommend. It's called Boulder Open Coffee. And it takes place, I think, every other Tuesday. There's one actually tomorrow as part of Boulder Startup Week. It's a great place to go to meet a variety of members of the community, some tech-oriented, some not, and to discuss topics that impact the entire startup community. And I don't think you have to be a tech person to understand what's going on. I think there are a lot of meetups like Boulder Open Coffee out there. There's Denver Open Coffee that also does the same thing. This is why I say don't make excuses. There are so many ways of getting into the startup community if you're just looking for it.
Have you been to a lot of other regions or cities' startup events?
I'm not a big traveler, but when I do go to travel, I try to hook up with the startup community in any way I can. And I have found, from the limited sample that I've seen, Boulder is very unique. It's very different. I think out of all the communities that I've seen, and I know I'm saying this word like over and over again, but Boulder's startup community specifically seems to be more community-centric than most. I think going back to Techstars, I think having that, they literally have this hashtag give first emblazoned on the wall at the Techstars office. And I think that's become the DNA of this community. And I think that is something that seems different from what I've seen in other startup communities that I've visited.
Well, it's really refreshing to hear that and to see that give first attitude so closely connected with business, because they seem maybe out of alignment, but in an ideal world, they're perfectly in alignment.
Yeah, and I think that's what Techstars is trying to do, is that rather than giving to be an afterthought or something you do on the side, it's literally the core of the business itself. I think that is what's driving it. I think that's what's driving this community to be so community-centric.
Anything else you'd like to add about anything?
Subscribe to Startup Digest.
And where can we do that?
So go to startupdigest.com and then pick the region that you want and then subscribe to that newsletter or the topic that you want.
Young Kim, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That was Young Kim, community curator at Startup Digest, the personalized insider newsletter for all things startup in Boulder, Denver, and around the world. Learn more at startupdigest.com. Episode number 5 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week design track sponsor, The Trade Desk. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week platinum sponsors Matter, Zayo, Google, and Boulder Engineering Studio. We're also presented by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio and to KGNU Community Radio for the recording gear. Our intro music is by EchoDeck, that's ECCODEK. Hear more at echodeck.com. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@thevibrarian.co. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.